Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord, amen. We praise God for being here on today in Jesus' name. This is the Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle right here on Blog Talk Radio, right here on the Spirit of Life Network. We thank God for being here. If you are listening to me right now, you are blessed, not because you're hearing my voice, but because if you are hearing my voice on today, you are in the land of the living, and that is a reason to give God praise. Amen. We thank God for being here on today. This is another beautiful, beautiful Saturday morning, afternoon, wherever part you're listening to me from. Amen. We thank God for each and every listener in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we have a topic today that has been on my heart to do. The Lord has blessed me to understand the confines of this topic and the depths of this topic today. Where mankind, the world, if you want to say it that way, if you want to say mankind or the world or whatever, whatnot, has stated that this topic is a different thing, but we find it in Scripture that it is found as something else. And I'm talking about something that the world will see as different. Amen. But we're going to be talking about sickness and mental health. Amen. Now, the world defines this as mental health illnesses and, you know, different things as sickness, things like that, such as heart disease and all of these things that we deal with in our bodies, headaches, things like that, you know, whatever it might be. And different, as the world sees it, as disorders. Amen. But the Bible declares them as something else. Amen. The Word of God declares them as not being mental health disorders. And I know in today's society, they're not going to declare it as that, but that's what it is. Amen. Underneath the root of the problem is the Bible declares them as to be spirits. Amen. These are different spirits that mankind deals with, whether you saved or unsaved. Amen. Different sicknesses that go on in our bodies. Different sicknesses that go on in our bodies, we deal with them. Amen. We deal with different illnesses. But the Bible does declare that sickness and diseases, the Bible does declare that what we go through can be worded as disease or sickness. Amen. The Bible does declare that. Amen. So we're going to look at this and we're going to see what a mental health illness is, and we're gonna look at it in the biblical aspect of it. Amen. I want to start off by saying this. If a person is dealing with mental health disorders, now, one thing, a saved person that is filled with the Holy Ghost should not be dealing with these. Amen. And the reason why I'm saying this, and there's a reason why I'm saying it, there's a reason why I'm saying, well, a person that is saved should not be dealing with it. And there's a big response to that. You might say, well, Minister Adam, you don't know what you're talking about because, you know, I deal with mental health and da-da-da-da-da. Yeah. And you might say, well, why can't a saved person deal with it? Because if you have the Holy Ghost, and if, such as the Bible declares them as spirits, demonic spirits cannot enter in a person that's saved, because clean and unclean can't dwell in the same place. And when you deal with demonic spirits, when you deal with, or for a younger generation, evil spirits, if a person is dealing with that, the Holy Ghost is not in them. And the reason why I say the Holy Ghost is not in them is because, like I said before, clean and unclean don't dwell in the same place. If you have the Holy Ghost, a spirit cannot just enter in. Now, for example, I remember when I was a child, we had a person, literally a person, come in with demonic spirits in them. And my former pastor, she told a couple of the saints, take all of the children downstairs. Take all of the children downstairs now. And she told all of us as children, whether you be saved or unsaved, to go downstairs. All right? So the reason for that is because spirits need a place, a living vessel to dwell in. And I'm talking about a human vessel or an animal vessel to dwell in. They need to be a living vessel. And I'll show you that in Scripture. Jesus casted out spirits out of a person, and when those spirits came out, those spirits knew who Jesus was. Amen. And they said, and I'm paraphrasing, they was asking Jesus to be cast into the swine. Swine is nothing. Swine are pigs. So spirits can go into human beings and they can go into animals. Okay? Demonic spirits can enter in into animals and humans. Now, if you are saved, if you're saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost, you, as that individual that is saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost, you should not be taken over by demonic possession. Amen. And then this is a very, very serious topic. What is mental illness? Mental health disorders refer to health conditions that affect the way a person would respond to the demands of everyday life. Now, this is the man-made definition of what mental illnesses are, okay? Mental illnesses involve changes in a person's behavior, thinking, or emotions. Now, why does the Bible declare that we need to watch what we say, what we do, what we hear, what we think? These are gates that demons enter. Okay? These are ways that demons enter. Now, there's only three ways that a demon can enter into a person: the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Only three ways. This is the same three ways that the devil tried to tempt Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Amen. So there's only three ways, but we have to watch our gates. We have certain gates that we have: the eyes, the ears, what we say, and what we think. These are certain ways that the devil can enter in. That's why it's not good for us to watch everything on TV. Because our demeanor, our emotions, our thought process, everything can change. If we keep feeling with those spirits, if we keep messing with those spirits, or in another words, entertaining those spirits, something gonna happen. Something gonna change. And the only way we entertain demonic spirits is if we cast them out or rebuke them. And that ain't even entertaining. That's getting rid of them. No man should entertain demonic spirits. I don't care. That's why the Bible says be careful for nothing. Because Satan uses anything he can to drift away a man or woman of God. He will use anything he can to drift a person away from what God has for them. The Bible says if he could fool the very elect, he would. Amen. If he could fool the very elect, what does that mean? If he could fool the very top person, he would. If he had, now, watch this. The devil has more power. The devil has power, but doesn't have enough power to overtake you if you do not allow him to, especially if you have the Holy Ghost. Now, it's hard to fight the enemy if you don't have the Holy Ghost. You can't fight the enemy. I'm just going to say it like that. You cannot fight the enemy without the Holy Ghost. The correct way, anyways. You might think you're fighting off the enemy, but you're really not doing, a person is really not doing much without the Holy Ghost. Can't. But in this lesson or in this topic today, I'm getting ready to tell you what type of, the world's aspect on this is they'll try to say that this is a disorder. These are not spirits, but these are different spirits. Now, watch this. Spirits have names. Spirits have names. Just like people have names. Just like I have a name, spirits got names. And these different illnesses are different spirits with the name, such as anxiety disorder, depression, bipolar disorder, mood disorder, feeding and eating disorders, post-traumatic stress disorder, or known as PTSD, or personal disorders. These are different spirits, and these are the different names to these spirits. Amen. And it is good when you're dealing with, now, me personally, I have seen somebody underneath demonic depression before. I have seen, and I have witnessed saints dealing with demonic possession. Amen. I've seen it. That's not a good thing to deal with, but you got to be strong when you deal with it, because it does fall underneath the lines of spiritual warfare. Amen. In the book of Acts, where there were certain men that were trying to cast out spirits, and these men were trying to cast out spirits without the Holy Ghost. You can't cast out no spirit without the Holy Ghost. And these spirits whooped on these men. I mean, to the point that they were wounded. So you cannot deal with, you can't call yourself casting out spirits out of a person or whatever without the Holy Ghost. You can't do it. Otherwise, you're going to have a bigger fight on your hands than what you would have had with the Holy Ghost. Amen. You cannot fight off these. Now, a lot of people will say, well, this is, when people deal with depression, they
they go some, not all, but some will turn to alcohol, will turn to drugs. That's another, that's one spirit trying to attach you to other spirits, trying to open you up to other spirits. That's a person that's trying to fight off that depression spirit, and I'm just using this as an example, but yet can't fight it off because they don't have the Holy Ghost. And look, let me tell y'all something, and I'm just using depression right now for an example. But depression itself can, it's not supposed, these disorders are different spirits, and like I said, and I'm only using depression right now because I want to use this as an example. No saint of God should be depressed, and the only way a saint of God gets depressed is if they allow that spirit to fall on them. You're not fighting. You're not doing nothing to fight at all. You're not praying. You're not fasting. You're not reading the word. You're not going to church. You're not doing this. You're not doing that. Then you will fall to that. You will fall to that depression. You will fall to different things. And some of these are sicknesses. Some of these are mental disorders, mental health disorders, as the world sees it. Amen. I personally, this is my own personal opinion. Amen. I don't believe feeding and eating disorders are considered as, I mean, I know the world considers them as disorders, but I believe that they're sick, that this is a certain sickness that a person has. It's a mental sickness, so it would be. Amen. But the one thing that we have to look at about, like I said, I'm going to use depression for an example. Depression, these spirits don't care who you are. These type of spirits do not, and other sicknesses do not care who you are, what your status is, what your career status is, how much money you have, how much fame and popularity you have. They it does not care. These disorders, these spirits do not care about all that. Spirit attaches itself to you or an individual, it will try to attach itself to an individual, and it will not only try to attach itself to that individual, but it will try to steal that peace from that individual. It will try to kill that individual, and it will try to destroy that individual. John 10:10 says, the thief cometh but to steal, kill, and to what? To destroy. But I came that you might have life, and that more abundantly. Amen. The thief is the devil. He brings these spirits. He tells these spirits where to go. And sometimes it's not even the devil. Sometimes it's us. Sometimes what we speak out of our mouth, not only does the Lord hear it, not only do we hear it, not only that person that we're telling hears it, but the devil hears it too. That's why it's not good to tell everything. Sometimes it's not even good to pray out loud. Sometimes it's good to pray with in your mind. Because the devil, that's one thing that the devil cannot do. He cannot hear your thoughts. He cannot hear your thoughts. He can't see your thoughts. He can't even think your thoughts. The only person that can know your thoughts before you think them is the Lord Jesus Christ. That is it. That's why it's good to go in a deep intercessory prayer mentally. Think in prayer. That's why it's good to do that. Thinking in prayer. It's not always good to speak things out loud. So when you get done with it, when you get done with everything, you have to understand this. You have to understand this, is that we must understand that every spirit that we deal with on a consistent basis, we have to understand that we have to stay prayed up, we have to stay fasted up, we have to stay worried up, because these can mess with us. Amen. And like I said, depression. I'm using this as an example because I'm trying to hit a point here. Like I said earlier, these spirits do not care what your status is. And I use this as an example a lot. One of the most funniest people on the face of the earth, I believe, and this is my own personal opinion, one of the most funniest comedians that I grew up watching as a child was Robin Williams. Very funny man. When it came to the comedic aspect, nobody could touch him because he was funny. He make you laugh. And you would think because of a person making you laugh like that, a person making you laugh, that they wouldn't be dealing with depression because he was funny. But yet he dealt with depression, and yet that depression took his life. Depression, Robin Williams' life. How did it take his life? Because depression led to other things. Depression led to other, and it made, and that depression had him on a road to wanting to take his own life. And it did. He took his own life. That's where the Bible in John 10 and 10, it says that the thief coming but to steal. It stole his peace, stole his joy, stole his happiness, whatever it was stealing it, and it killed him. It killed. It ain't not necessarily I'm saying that it killed him physically yet, because it was killing him slowly. It was bringing on, that depression was bringing on problems. It was making him turn, it was killing him slowly, because he turned to different avenues such as alcohol, pills, and all that stuff. And it was killing him slowly. It was killing his body slowly. And then all of a sudden, it destroyed him because he took his life. These spirits that we deal with, such as what I've read off, depression, anxiety disorders, these are different spirits, and they are not a game. They are not a game. We need to take care of ourselves spiritually, and we need to take care of ourselves physically too. Because if we're not taking care of ourselves spiritually and physically, then we have a problem. There is no like heart disease. We need to be, I am a firm believer in going to the doctor, going to see the doctor on a consistent basis. And I'm going to be honest with you. I got a doctor's appointment coming up, and I'm going to be going to see my doctor. Why? Because I want to know, doctors, there are some, and you know what? And anybody that preaches against going to see the doctor, I wish you'd sit down somewhere. Sit down. Because ain't nowhere in this Bible tell me that I can't go see a doctor. That I got to have, that's just stupid. And I'm just going to say it like that. That's just stupid. If you don't want to go see a doctor because my faith, you got this mentality of my faith is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and his righteousness, I'm not going to see the doctor. Look, let me tell you something. The Lord didn't say don't go see a doctor, because if the Lord had said don't go see a doctor, he wouldn't have told the woman with the issue, he wouldn't have put it in the woman with the issue of blood's mind to go see a physician. Come on now. She went to physician after physician for 12 long years. She couldn't get relief. And then she found the doctor, the doctor of doctors, Jesus Christ. But there is nothing wrong with you going to see a doctor. Now, all of these counselors and mental health counselors and all that stuff, look, let me tell you something. Some of these mental health counselors, some of these counselors, now I wouldn't prefer to go see. Now you might say, well, you're backtracking. You're that's doing a double standard. You said go see the doctor. Why can't I go see a counselor? Look, I'm not telling you not to go see a counselor. I'm not saying that. If you want to go see a counselor, that's fine. I don't because I believe that my own personal belief. This is my own personal belief. Now, when it comes to sicknesses and illnesses, I will go see a doctor. Have I seen a counselor before in my life? Yes, I have. I'm going to be honest with you. I have. And there's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with it. But if you're dealing with a depression or something like that, some of these doctors, some of these counselors, they just about nutty as a pet coon. They ready to jump out the window they sell. Some of them. I ain't going to say all of them, but some of them are. But you have to watch who you go see. Now, when you're talking about spiritual counseling, you need to go see your pastor. You need to go see your pastor. If it's something on the spiritual, you watch who you counsel with, even in the natural. If that counselor telling you, if you're going to see a counselor, and that counselor telling you to do the opposite of the word of God, then you need to check it because, hold on. Now, if that counselor telling you to write something down or, giving you exercises that are in the ramifications of are in the ramifications of God, are not stepping out of the boundaries into sin, if it's not anything short of sin, it's okay. If that counselor is telling you to, I think you need to take some drugs. Now, I know counselor's going to tell you that, but I'm just using this as an example. If a counselor tells you to take drugs, or a counselor is telling you to do this, or a counselor is telling you, oh, you don't need to go to church, I think church is the reason why you're going through what you're going through. No. Anything is short of sin. Anything that is short of you going against the word of God, use it. My former pastor used to say all the time, anything is short of sin to draw a person to Christ. If you got to feed them to draw them to Christ, feed them. Amen. If you got to spend time with them, as long as it ain't sin, spend time with them. Take some time out with them. If you got to sit and talk to them for an hour or two to draw them closer to God, then do that. Amen. I say anything is short of sin. Amen. But let me tell you this, and we're going to go to scripture to show, because I want to give you some scripture on this topic today. All right. And let me share this before I go into scripture. I took some, I researched this, and it says the research that I got was, 46 million Americans, 46 million people in the United States deal with mental illness. That's one out of five adults that deal with mental illness. Now, this is just adults. I haven't got the children's data yet. But 46 million people in the United States deal with mental illness. But you see, these illnesses that I've named off, you notice that I said they're all mental illnesses. The Bible says, think on these things. What are you trying to say? What are you trying to say, Minister Adam? That the devil comes in First, he attacks your mind. Anything that he brings to you, he tries to get your mind first. It's just like going after the head of the home. It's just like going after the head of the home. If you get the head, you got the body. If you get the mind, you got the whole body. Because the brain function controls the whole body. Now, I know you got different things in there, like your heart, your lungs, and all that stuff. But without a person's mind, they're dead. If they have not got good brain function, the doctor declares a person brain dead. That means they're a vegetable. That means they can't do nothing. They're brain dead. If they don't get oxygen to the brain, they become what? Brain dead. Means no function of life is in there. That's what the devil wants to do to us. That's why the devil tries to put these different spirits on people. He tries to get them physically and emotionally and mentally and spiritually brain dead. He's trying to get them brain dead spiritually to the fact that Jesus Christ can deliver. He tries to erase everything out of, look, that's why I say it all the time. Anything that is dealing with life, you can find it in the Word of God. Watch this. Now, like I said earlier, anything that we deal with on this side of heaven, such as these disorders, such as sicknesses, such as problems, there is no thing that we deal with that we can't find an answer to in the Word of God. Because the reason why I say that is because the scripture says, I am that Jesus declared that he is the way, the truth, and the what? The life. Like I quoted John 10:10, he said that I came that you might, what? Have life, and that more abundantly. So if he's the way, the truth, and the life, and this is his word, like it says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, amen, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, all of that, he is his word. This is his word. He is the Word. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. So this is life. This is life given to us. This is life granted to us. And all of these spirits that we deal with on a consistent basis, every fight that we have is not a natural fight. When you deal with disorders, when you deal with, in the world's aspect, mental disorders, that is a spiritual fight. How do I know? In the book of Ephesians chapter, I believe it's Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 12. And I'm going to go there real quick and show you in the book of Ephesians chapter number 6, verse number 12. I'm going to show you in the Word of God what this is. Because I want you to see it. I just don't want you to take my word for it. I don't want you to just take my word for it. We deal with spiritual attacks on a day-to-day basis. When we're fighting, with the fights that we deal with as far as sicknesses and illnesses and all of this stuff, that is a spiritual fight. It is. It's a spiritual fight. Amen. It is a spiritual fight with spiritual repercussions. Amen. Ephesians chapter number 6, verse number 12. The Bible declares, For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, watch this. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Amen. It says, take on the whole armor of God. Why does it say take on the whole armor of God? God has specifically given us armor to fight with. And it breaks down in these other verses what this armor does and what this armor is used for and why we should have this armor. Amen. It talks about the helmet of salvation. Talks about the shield of faith, the breastplate of righteousness, having your feet shone with the preparation of the gospel of peace. These are the different armor that we have to put on a day-to-day basis. We have to keep them on even when we sleep, especially when we sleep. Amen. That is why we have to protect. That's why we have to stay prayed up. That's why we have to stay fasted up. That's why we have to stay worded up. Because the Bible says when the enemy comes in like a flood, you don't know when a flood is coming. Amen? We never know when something is coming our way. The problems that come in our life just don't come and say, oh, I'm coming. They give a specific date. They just come and let you know when they come. And they don't just let you know. When a thief comes to your house or a burglar comes to a person's house, they don't make a date when they're coming. They just come, whether you're ready or not. That's why the Bible says the thief cometh but to steal, kill, and to destroy. What is a thief? A thief is a person that robs people. A person that he wants to rob you of everything you have. And he starts with the mind. He starts with the mind. Let's go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter number 5. Chapter 5 verse 8. He wants to destroy you. Amen. But the Lord has told us what to do. Amen. He wants to destroy you. 1 Peter chapter number 5, verse number 8. And it reads, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He goes as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's going around the earth seeking whom he may devour. It didn't say if you were saved. It didn't say if you were unsaved. He is seeking whom he may devour. And he puts these different spirits. He tries to lure these different spirits. He tries to lure these other the demonic spirits to try to get us out of place with God. Try to get us out of place with God. Now watch this. Let's go back to Philippians. Because we were in the Ephesians, but right to the next verse is Philippians. Amen. Let's go to Philippians chapter number 4. Chapter number 4. Verse 8. Amen. Philippians chapter number 4, verse number 8. Philippians chapter number 4, verse number 8. And this is what the Lord has stated. That's why I said it starts when the devil comes in, and tries to break you, tries to put different spirits on people. He starts with the mind. But guess what the Lord said? This is life right here. The Lord's coming in and giving us life in this verse right here. It says in Philippians chapter number 4, verse 8, it says, finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Amen. And I'm going to go down to verse number 9. It says, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. The God of peace. This is what the devil wants to take from us. This stops these disorders, these mental health crises. This is what stops the anxiety. This is what stops the depression. This is what brings healing unto us. Amen. The peace of God will be with you when you think on these things. It starts with the mind. And I'll give you an example. And I said about sicknesses. There are different sicknesses in this world that have names. Heart disease, diabetes, lung cancer, all of this stuff, all of these different diseases that would try to defer our walk with Christ, will tell us, look, you got this disease going on, you got that going on, you got this problem, and you think that your mind, any person that is not saved and filled with the Holy Ghost would lose their mind. Because they got all of this stuff piled on top of them. And it gets to be a weight. It gets to be a weight that we can't hold up no more. Once the devil keeps piling on this problem, my children acting up, I got this problem over here, I got that problem over there. Yeah, that'll bring depression if you allow it to. But the Bible says, lay aside every weight and every sin that so easily beset us. Amen? He said, lay it aside. How do I lay it aside? I put my problems not on myself, but I cast all my cares upon him. Cast all your cares upon him. That's what we do. That's how we deal with the things that we deal with. So we won't have the depression. So we won't go through the anxiety. We got doctors telling, and this is the reason why I said go to the doctor. Because when the doctor tells me I got this going on, and I just went through it a month ago. I had a doctor tell me that I had a blood clot in my heart and in my lung, and I could have left up out of here. And yeah, I dealt with a serious, serious issue that it could have led to my demise. But at the brink of it, I called on the name of Jesus. When I couldn't call mama, when I couldn't call my father, when I couldn't even call my wife, when I couldn't call on my children, when I couldn't call on my nieces and nephews, brothers and sisters, all of my family, even my pastor, I couldn't call them, but I had enough strength to call on the name of Jesus. And guess what? That is the name that is above every name, and that is the name that delivers. Demons tremble at the name of Jesus. These disorders, these problems, these issues that we deal with will tremble at the name of Jesus. That's why the Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Why? Because the greater is Jesus. The greater on the inside of you is Jesus. That's why I said you can't deal with these issues. That's why a person can't deal with problems. That's why a person can't deal with these mental disorders without the Holy Ghost. Because the Bible says in Acts 1 and 8, it says, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, ye shall have what? Power. Power. You won't have to deal with it by yourself. I understand. See, Jesus. Where does these different illnesses, what are these different illnesses? You said that they're spirits. What are evil spirits? What are demonic spirits? They're demons. They're demons. They're the fallen angels. If you don't believe me, there are scriptures in the Word of God to show that one third of the angels were kicked out of heaven. There was one third of the angels that went with Satan, that went with Lucifer, whatever you want to call it. When Satan sinned, the sin was when he thought he was above God. He thought the sin out first. He wanted to be above God. He thought he was above God. You can sin in your mind. And what the devil did, he said he sinned in his mind, in his thought process. I'm above God. I'm above my creator. That's what got him kicked out of heaven. Nothing is above God. Nothing is above the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he was kicked out, this is what the devil does. He entices people. Just like he enticed one third of the angels, he was able to entice one third of the angels. That's why the Bible says he could fool the very elect. He would. He was able to entice one third of the angels, and they got kicked out. They got kicked out of heaven. So what makes you think that if the devil can entice one third of the angels, that he won't come after you? Some people do not believe in demonic spirits. Some people don't believe in it. I'm here to tell you now that demonic spirits are real. The devil is real. Some people don't believe that there's a hell. Some people don't believe in the devil. Some people don't believe in demonic spirits. Some people don't believe in heaven either. Some people don't believe in God. But let me tell you something. This stuff is real. Ever see a person have a certain way of life and then it changes in a wrong, say if they have a good way of life and all of a sudden it starts changing slowly? I guarantee you. For the wrong, where they start doing stuff like getting into alcohol, getting into drugs and all this stuff, there is something demonic over them. And it didn't happen overnight. It slowly crept in. That's why, this is why the church needs to preach holiness. We have certain things that have crept in. This is why the church itself is so jacked up right now, because we have let spirits creep in into the church. And I did not mean to go here, because this is on mental health and physical health today, but I guess this is in there spiritually. We have let things creep in the church. We have let spirits creep in the church. We have let certain things go ahead and go and go. We have let it go and go and go until it becomes a big, giant problem in the church. And some people are dealing with spiritual health crises right up in the church. And the pastor ain't done nothing about it. The pastor just letting them sing. The pastor just letting them continue to play, continue to, well, I'm going to say it, continue to play church. Just because you run and shout don't mean that you're saved. I heard a preacher say one time that sometime when you just speak in tongues, now, before I say this, now you need to have speaking in, you need to speak in tongues to receive the Holy Ghost. So don't nobody get, well, what I'm getting ready to say. Say, well, he just said that. I don't need to speak in tongues then to receive the Holy Ghost. Yes, you do. But some people have been drawn away from the Spirit of God by their own lust, and they've gotten so far deep into it, and just because they jumping and shouting and they speaking in tongues on every Sunday and they hooping and hollering, they have fallen away. And the reason why they can jump and shout and all this stuff, it's becoming, they have now fallen to religion. It's not a relationship anymore, it's religion. It's not salvation anymore, it's religion. They go to church every Sunday and they jump, they shout, but they leave in the same way they came in. That is religion. They have not been endued with power from on high to get rid of the spirits that is on them. They still singing in the choir. They still jumping and shouting, and they call themselves speaking in tongues and all this stuff, but they still got the same problem on. They still dealing with the same spiritual issues that they've been dealing with since 1947. And maybe they ain't wasn't even alive in 1947. But this new age church is going in the church house and leaving out the same way they came in. And you know what? I did a show on my podcast, and it was entitled "Why Die? Why Die at the Doctor's Door?" You're right there. You're right there at the doctor's door, and you just have to get it, and you die. Why die at the doctor's door? You're right there at the brink of your miracle. When the pastor or the minister calls you up for prayer, or calls you or makes that altar call, and you're like, I'll wait. I want to spend one more night with the Father. And you know what? Altar call is not only for the unsaved. Let me get that straight right now. Altar call is not just for the unsaved. It's for the saved too. Because we deal with certain things in our life on a day-to-day basis. Some things that we deal with need to be prayed over. We don't need to always hold this in all the time. Now, if you got a toe ache, yes, you can pray for yourself. You got a little headache, yeah, you can pray for yourself. You don't always need to call the pastor. You don't always need to call Bishop. I don't always call my pastor for every toe ache I have and every headache I have. I don't do that. I grab my blessing, I anoint myself, and I pray, and I go to sleep. That's what I do. Yeah, I might say, well. Okay, you pray and then you go to sleep. Yep, I sure do. Or if I got a headache while I'm at work or something, I'll pray over myself and I'll go on and continue. I don't call my pastor for nothing like that. But if I'm dealing with something heavy, yeah, it's important for me to call my pastor. And some of the stuff that we deal with, it's not just that we prayed over it. Some of us need to confess. Now, when I say confess, I'm not saying confess to the world. But confession is good for the soul. Confession removes that stuff that you're battling with. And I'm not talking about confess your sins to the entire church. I'm not not saying confess your sins to Sally Sue and brother over here and sister over there. Because you don't do that. That's not wise. But take your confession to your pastor. And let me tell y'all something. That confession should be between three people. You, the Lord, and your pastor. And if your confession gets out, there's only two ways it got out. Either you told it or your pastor told it. Because God sure ain't going to tell it. And that's some wise counsel for somebody. Go to your pastor. Set up a meeting with your pastor. And some of this stuff that we deal with, some of the sins, some of the past sins that we have done, we need to confess it. The Bible says lay aside every weight and sin. We ain't just, look, we, some of us don't even confess at communion time. We ain't fasting at communion time. And look, some of us that done took communion, I'm here, I'm sorry to tell you, some of these people done took communion unworthily. Some of these people done took communion unworthily. If you taking communion every single Sunday or every day, that is not supposed to do that. You are not supposed to do that. The Bible didn't say that. Now, the Bible didn't give a specific time, but it's supposed to be in remembrance of him. It's a sacred thing. You are supposed to, you as a person of God, when a person tells, I don't know why I'm going here, but a person that does communion, they're supposed to fast. They're supposed to, and I'm not just talking about one day. I ain't even talking about 2 days. When it comes to communion and stuff, you're supposed to be on a prayed up, you're supposed to be prayed up and worded up when you take communion. Because you can bring detriment to your soul and to your body if a person take, that person that takes that communion unworthily can bring detriment to their soul and to their body, physically and spiritually, if you take communion unworthily. I don't know why I'm going here, but this was not in my notes. Tell you that now. I'm just doing what thus saith the Lord. I'm just saying what thus saith the Lord. The Lord brings it out. Lord gives me the thought. I say it. We just let the Spirit of the Lord flow. We're gonna flow in the Spirit. In his spirit. But today, we have a church generation that most times we have to say, just like it's quoted in Acts, I think it's Acts chapter 2, I think it's Acts chapter 2, verse 40, I believe. I think it's Acts chapter 2, verse 40. Matter of fact, let's go there real quick. Acts chapter 2, verse 40. It lets us know at the end of that verse to save yourself from this untorn generation. This is what we have to do. this new church age, this new church generation has not, look, this new church generation, I do not like the way that this new church generation is confining itself, because it has literally destroyed people's souls. It has. It has literally helped destroy people's souls and spiritual life with God and spiritual relationship with God. How? You might say, well, how does this new church age destroy people's relationship with God? By saying, oh, it don't take all that. Oh, God's doing a new thing. God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. You can find that in Hebrews. Amen. We have to save ourselves. If man don't want to go, if mama don't want to go, if my wife don't want to go, if my husband don't want to go, if my children don't want to go, if whoever don't want to go, don't hinder me. I'm not following you. There was a time where, back in the day, where my, when I was younger, I was in my late teens and my early 20s. And I remember back then, a lot of the young people used to go to gospel concerts after church. Go to gospel concerts after church and all of this stuff. And there was this group of young people back then that here in Indianapolis, they would go to different churches to have gospel concerts and stuff like that. And my pastor, my former pastor, said one time, don't go to everybody's church. Young people, don't go to everybody's church. I don't care if it's for a concert. I don't care if it's for this. I don't care if it's for that. And if you are going, before you go, you need to let me know that you're going over there so I'll know. Not to meddle in nobody's business, but she was the watchman on the wall for our soul at that time. And you know what? I took heed to it. And I still take heed to it to this day. And you can ask my pastor and my first lady. I will bring them personally on the show to vouch for them. I, even now, at 34 years old, I don't go to nobody's church without my pastor's permission. I didn't do it back then in my teens and in my 20s, in my early 20s, because when I was in my early 20s, I moved out of my parents' house. I could do whatever I want. And the reason why I'm saying my early teens and my early 20s is because then I was hanging out with my one of my older brothers. And me and my older brother used to go to I went to a couple gospel concerts. I ain't going to say I've never been to a gospel concert in my life, because I have. But I've always went with somebody that I knew that was, okay, where I'm all right. And I always let my pastor know. I was always with people that was on the same spiritual level as I was. We ain't going to get ourselves into this. We ain't going to get ourselves into that. We gonna go to this gospel concert. We're gonna listen to a couple gospel songs, and we're gonna keep it moving. We ain't hanging out after the concert, going here and going there. If you ain't going nowhere holy, we ain't going. And those are the people I rode with back then. But what I'm saying is that back then and even now, I don't hang out with everybody. I've been invited to people's churches even now, and I still don't go. Why? Because if I'm eating off everybody's table, that can bring a spiritual or a mental disorder yourself because you hanging out with everybody. Spirits are not just a person. And look, the transfer of spirits, so you don't have to have, and I'm using this as an example, sex with somebody to have a transfer of spirits. That's not the only way to transfer a spirit. Okay, let me say that now. That's why, and I'm going to deal with that. I'm going to deal with that too. This is why, I'm going to deal with that first. We have to understand that hanging out with people, hanging out with the unsaved, hanging out sometimes when they call themselves saved, but they doing anything that they big or bad enough to do, hanging out with those type of people. You can't hang out with everybody. The Bible says evil communication, what? Corrupt good manners. Amen. Who you hang with can change you. You can start picking up the spirits that they got. When you get with a person that you're not equally yoked with, it can bring some spirits. It can bring spirits that you would never think. That's why I don't say. I used to say back in the day, I ain't gonna do this. I ain't gonna do that. I ain't gonna do this. I don't say that no more. Because you are one prayer away from doing what you say you would not do. Out the Holy Ghost, you are one prayer away from doing what you said you would not do. That's why it's not good for you to, and when you're courting with somebody, and I'm just going to use that old-fashioned word, courting, amen. I'm going to use that old-fashioned word. When you're courting with somebody, it ain't good to, if you know your flesh, you know your flesh. Come on now. You know your flesh. You know your flesh done rolls up and everything. And you know that individual's flesh done rolls up. And you know, it ain't good to court that individual by yourself. You better do some chaperoning. Because the Bible says it's not even good for a man to even touch a woman. You get two individuals together who flesh done rose up. Don't put yourself in that predicament because that person going to end up falling in a pitfall, and they're going to end up going to the altar saying, Oh, Lord, I done messed up again. Well, you done put yourself in that pitfall. And I'm saying this because I've known people, and I know people. And just because you saved, when I'm saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost, I can hang out with, No. If you got the Holy Ghost, it would be wise for you. Don't you go on no, don't you court nobody by yourself. Don't go nowhere by yourself. Just y'all two are by yourself. No, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do it. Because you're going to have some spirit. Y'all going to end up getting in y'all's flesh and in y'all's emotions. And it's not gonna end well. Especially if y'all like each other. I don't know who I'm talking to today. You better step back. Trust me. I'm just gonna say it like that. Trust me. Not even trust. Don't just trust me. Trust the word of God. If that man love you. He gonna respect his relationship with God first. If that woman love you, she gonna respect her relationship with God first. If that man wanna be with you, he gonna love God first. He gonna do everything he can to love God first, to keep his relationship intact with God first. Because if he or she can keep their relationship intact with God, they're gonna keep their relationship intact with you. If they can't, then they're gonna have a problem keeping their relationship intact with you. And if you don't fall for something, you'll fall for anything. If you can't fall in love with Jesus first, there's no way that you'll be able to fall in love with that individual. If you can't fall in love and respect the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no way that that individual can love and respect you. No way. There's no way. Because God said he is love. There's no way. And that brings spirit. When I had an individual, and I'm going to say this. I had an individual, and this is before I got married and before I met my wife. I had an individual. They called themselves saved. And they called themselves liking me. And they told me that they liked me or whatever. And a certain female told me that she liked me and everything. And I, okay. And I just blew it off because I was like, okay, all right. And one day I was at my church and this person came to my church and was visiting, and I was sitting in the back of the church. I forget what I was doing while I was sitting back there. I think I was ushering. I think I was ushering or doing something. And I was sitting in the back of the church, and I was listening to the service, and this young lady came and sat next to me, and she began to do things that were inappropriate right there in the church while service was going on. And I told this individual, I said, sis, don't do that. Don't do that. That's not appropriate, especially because I'm not your husband, nor are we together. At that time, I was interested in somebody else, but I told that individual, I said, we both supposed to be safe. I'm not supposed to be touching you. You're not supposed to be touching me, especially in the church while service is going on. Don't do that. And I went to one of my parents before I took it to my pastor. And I believe it was my first lady. Well, she wasn't my first lady at the time, but my mother. And I asked her, I said, Mom, I said, now, doesn't the Bible say that it's not appropriate for a man to touch a woman? She said, yes. I said, does that mean that? Is that the same thing for a woman? She said, yes. And I began to tell her what happened. And she said, well, we're gonna deal with it. And she dealt with it. And she told that young lady, because I was about 18 or 19 years old then. I was about to be 20, somewhere in there. So it was still appropriate for my parents to deal with that type of situation. And she was like, no, you don't do that. She said the next time she went to that young lady and told that young lady, look, the next time you do that, me, you, my son, and the pastor is going to be involved. We're going to go to Pastor McGordon, and we're going to let her know what's going on. And then that situation never happened again. Never happened again. That was the wrong way to do things. That was the wrong thing to do at that time. Amen. But these things, when we start hanging out with people, when I'm going to go here, the transfer of spirits, the transfer of spirits, when a young lady and a gentleman, they come together, and they lay down together. That brings spirits, especially if they're not married. And that's if you ever notice why it's hard for that man or that woman to break away from that individual, to leave that individual alone, because the transfer of spirits. And it's like this. Whoever, if you lay down with an individual and that individual has laid down with other individuals, because this happened in the church, let's not go, I'm not just talking about out there in the world neither, because this happened in the church. And it ain't just happening with the saints. It's happening with the bishops, the deacons, the elders. It's happening in the church world. It shouldn't, but it is. But when you lay down with an individual and that's not your husband, that's not your wife, and that's why the Bible says the bed, marriage is honorable and the bed is undefiled. Why is it undefiled? Because those two people that have come together are married. The bed only becomes defiled when you are not married. How does it become defiled? Because the transfer of spirits that come with it. Whoever you have slept with, whoever that person has slept with, those transfer of spirits will be on you. And you wondering why you having problems here and there. You wondering why you having problems with your flesh. You wondering why you having desires of this and that. Because of those transfer of spirits. You wondering why you can't let this person go because of that transfer of spirits. Those transfer spirits. You have you have now set yourself up for failure. And you have a connection with that individual. You have a connection with those people that individual has slept with. All or one or two or three, whoever, how many that individual has slept with, whether it be the man or the woman, whoever they done slept with, those spirits are transferred on to you. And now you got an even bigger problem. And you wondering why you depressed, over this individual? Because transfer spirits. That's why sex is used for married couples. It's the coming together as one. It's the coming together as one. That's why the Bible declares to not be unequally yoked. Amen. Now, if you allow God to change the situation, and now that individual that's a non-believer has to want to change. And there are instances where God changes and turns that situation around. But don't put yourself in that predicament trying to change an individual either. Oh, I'm going to change him. Oh, I'm going to change her. No, you ain't.
Trust me. Trust me. The only person that can change an individual is God himself. Amen. In the midst of all of this, I want to go to a scripture and show you real quick that all of this stuff, because I really didn't give any hardly any scriptures, but there are certain scriptures to show that these different, the world calls them mental disorders and sicknesses and diseases and stuff. The Lord calls them spirits and demons. And he casts them out of people. I'm going to go to Matthew. Matthew chapter 8, verse 16. Well, hold on. Wait a minute. Let's go to Mark. Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, verse 34. Mark chapter 1, verse 34. Amen. And it reads, "And he healed many that were sick of diverse diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him." Amen. This is showing that he cast out many devils. He cast out many spirits out of people in this verse. He cast out sicknesses and diseases out of people. These are the diseases are spirits too. When you talk about heart disease, that is a spirit. When you talk about AIDS and HIV and cancer and all this, these are different spirits. The man with the withered hand, he had a disability. He had a disability. And you know what? I deal with the same disability. That is a spirit. And you might say, well, I thought you said that they can't be stricken with sicknesses and diseases and spirits if you got the Holy Ghost. Look, there are some afflictions that come upon us for God to get the glory out of us. I'm not talking about demonic possession. I'm talking about illnesses and diseases. I'm not talking about depression and bipolar disorders and all that stuff. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about sicknesses and diseases. When I mean diseases, I mean sicknesses like health issues, like heart disease and stuff. These different things come up on us. Sometimes it comes up, God allows it to come for his glory. Sometimes it comes up because we're not taking care of ourselves. Sometimes it comes up because of our own wanting to continue in sin. Amen. How do I know that sometimes it's for God's glorification? For God to get the glory out of it. Look at Job. Everything that Job dealt with, it was for God's glorification. It was for the glorification of God. Job never sinned. He held his integrity when he went through the problem. And to test Job, to show the devil that Job would honor the relationship he had with God. These afflictions that we have upon us, such as sicknesses, these afflictions that we have, some of these afflictions are not coming upon us because we sinned. It's because to get the glory, I'll use me for an example. My heart disease,
that I don't know, and I say heart disease, and I don't claim it, but every time that the Lord has delivered me, it's not because, now sometimes it was because of sometime, and I'm going to be honest, it was sometimes where I wasn't dealing with doing what the doctor told me to do, and I felt the consequences of it. Obey the ones that have the rule over you. My doctor has the rule over me when it comes to my health. If the doctor says take your medication, I'm not taking it, then I'm going to have problems. Amen? Just like the woman with the issue of blood. She still took medicine. I believe she still took medicine. Don't say that in the Bible, but she did say, it does say that she went to physician after physician. So she listened to the doctor until she got to the doctor. Amen? As they went, they were healed. Amen? But I don't have to claim what the doctor gives me. And I don't. But this is for the glorification of God. Every time I've went through an issue with my heart, God has got the glory out of it. Every time I've dealt with an issue financially or anything else, God has gotten the glory out of it. Because I never praise the problem. I've always praised God. If God can't, and I've always said, if God can't bring you out, it can't be done. Same thing with every illness and every sickness and every disease. Every demonic attack, if God can't do it, it can't be done. If God can't do it, it can't be done. I pray that you've gotten something out of this in Jesus' name. I pray that all is well with you, and I only have like 2 minutes, so time flies when you're talking about the goodness of the Lord. Amen. Amen. But I praise God for each and every one of you. I praise God for each and every one of our listeners in Jesus' name. I thank God for the whole Spirit Alive family. Amen. I praise God for each and every one of you. Stay tuned for the Spirit Alive network, because we got a bunch of shows for you this week in Jesus' name. Thank God for Bishop Cook for allowing us to come one more time to bring forth the word of God in Jesus' name. And I pray, my prayer is for everyone to have a very, very blessed week and a very, very blessed rest of your weekend. I'm getting ready to get out of here because I'm getting ready to go spend time with my family. But I praise God for each and every one of you in Jesus' name. This is The Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle right here on Blog Talk Radio, right here on the Spirit Alive Network in Jesus' name. God bless you. I love you. And until next Saturday, God bless you. And if you do not hear my voice again, as my grandmother used to say, I will see you in the rapture of the church. God bless you. And as it states in Acts 2:38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. God bless you. This is the only way to make it to heaven. This is the only way to see the Lord's face in peace, in Jesus' name. God bless you, in Jesus' name.